Amen. Please also pray for Michael Guillerme. He had an ordination service, was ordained Sunday. I believe Friday some questions were asked, but Sunday he was ordained. And he said right after that he got very sick. He's got COVID again. And he said when he was writing to me late this afternoon that he has a fever and headache and cough. And he said he feels really terrible. So pray for him. He's been sick ever since Sunday with that. So please pray for him, if you would. Let's go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Matthew 24 and verse 6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. So the title of this message is World War What? What's coming? Again, we're facing a time of wars and rumors of wars. We have, of course, the Soviet Union flexing its muscle about Ukraine. We have China flexing its muscle about Taiwan. Over in the Persian Gulf, there's conflicts going on as well. I've always wondered how Americans must have felt when World War II was building up. Of course, they'd gone through World War I already, but I've wondered how. And I read some more about it this week. Our military covered up some things that was going on just before World War II started. German U-boat submarines were sinking ships off the Atlantic coast, right off the Atlantic coast. And our military was telling the news to be quiet about it because they didn't want to acknowledge it. Our military was not ready for Germany's submarine warfare, not ready at all. And there was many months, and they just didn't respond at all. There was nothing they could do. And finally, they figured out some things to do, and the tide changed. But so you had that happening, Germany sinking a lot of ships, trying to get across to Europe. You had the Japanese were conquering over in the Pacific, and of course, when they bombed Pearl Harbor, that was the last straw there, and of course we were in it full-fledged then in World War II. And so I've often wondered how Americans felt at that time with all that was going on both sides, both seas, both directions. And how can we be prepared in our day? I don't know whether this is going to amount to anything or not with Russia and Ukraine and with China and Taiwan. I do not know. And probably before World War II happened, Americans were wondering just how far it was going to go. But we did get involved. So what can we do to be prepared? Number one, let us not make material things our treasure. Let us not make material things our treasure. Look in verse 1, Matthew 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him, what? The buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. I find it interesting that in our day, oftentimes when churches describe their success, they describe, or a pastor's success, they describe how many acres the church owns and how many square feet the building is sometimes. So The disciples, I guess, kind of felt that same way, because in verse 1, they came to show Jesus all the buildings of the temple. And he simply said, "There shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." So this would be 30-something. And in 70 AD, that came to pass. The temple was destroyed. Jerusalem was totally destroyed in 70 AD. So it was only 30-some years out from that point, and there would be no great building. So what about with us? I mean, isn't it? It's wonderful to be able to come and worship together in a nice warm building this time of year. And it's wonderful to be able to come and worship together in a nice cool building in the summertime. We have so many luxuries. And I hope we don't take it for granted. But what if this was all taken away? It could easily be taken away. Our neighbors to the north, Canada, there were churches trying to meet during the COVID thing, and pastors were jailed in Canada. I don't know if any were actually jailed here in America, but in Canada they were. I read about them. And of course, it was Canada that just passed the no conversion therapy for sodomites. And so with promised jail time, for that, if you disobey, if you... So they're not going to let any ads be placed for conversion therapy, or if anyone actually tries to convert someone out of sodomy. And we talked about that Sunday. Really what they're doing is they put an arrest warrant out for God, because he wants to convert them and to transform their lives. So if you hold your place here, let's turn to Mark 13. Mark 13. I mean, the disciples were very excited about these buildings of the temple. In Mark 13, in verse 1, Mark 13, 1, "And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here." I mean, exclamation mark. Aren't you impressed, Jesus? And once again here, this parallel passage, verse 2, "And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." So what would happen if our government does come to us? If we preach and have, and we already have gospel literature against sodomy, what if they come and say, "Quit printing that"? And if we don't quit printing that, and they confiscate our building and sell it, what do we do? You know, is our worship only in this building? I mean, would we still worship? I mean, tonight, if we had to be in someone's basement, hopefully not in someone's garage, unless you have a heated garage, but what if we were in someone's basement tonight because the government had taken away our church building? Would we still be excited to worship the Lord? Or is it all about the building? Well, I guess we never know until we're tested, but I hope it's not just about a building. In fact, they may, with one church in Canada, they drove them out of their church and locked them out. The government did up there. And then they were meeting outdoors. And guess what happened? A police helicopter found them worshiping. And no, you can't do that either. So what if tonight we were all bundled up? I know some of you love snow. I know you do. Well, so what tonight if we had to meet out in the woods somewhere and worship God because we were hiding from police helicopters or government dogs trying to sniff us out? Would we still be out there? Or would we say, "Hey, it's too cold. I'm not going to worship God tonight"? What would we do? Well, it might come to that. And so let us not make material things our treasure. We need to appreciate. I appreciate this building. It heats better than the old building did. And the old building was a lot smaller. And it cools nicer. It stays nice and cool in here throughout the summer. But our treasure must not be in the building. It must be in Christ. Notice in Matthew chapter 6, Matthew 6. You know, there are a lot of Christians across the world that do have to meet in secret. In China, in Muslim countries. And let us never think that it can't happen here, because it could. It could easily happen here. The Christians in Canada right now are saying, but our Constitution guarantees us the right of freedom of religion. Well, there's going to be a big clash right now, because they have the Parliament unanimous voted for this law. No conversion therapy, no trying to get a sodomite to change his or her lifestyle. There's going to be a big clash, and they're saying, but our Constitution guarantees our freedom of religion. Well, you know what? When you stack the court with liberal people, they don't care what the Constitution says, as we've seen in Canada and are seeing more and more here. But in Matthew 6:19, the Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We just recently got the car fixed. An elderly man come out on the road hauling his lawnmower and decide, for some reason, to back up right in the middle of the road, and damaged our car, and so that was fixed, and it was damaged in the rear, so we got that fixed up, and so took it to the car wash the other day, and at the end of the car wash, the door didn't raise, and it's kind of a plastic door that kind of breaks away, and actually, it was already out of its track, and so the owner said probably a pickup or something with a higher rack caught it, but So my car is pulled right through, and that door, which I didn't realize that it was, I realized it was going across the top of the vehicle, but what I didn't realize is the dirt on the bottom of that door was scratching the car all the way up the hood, up the glass, across the top, and on the trunk. And so I take it into the body shop, and it's real cheap to fix it. It's $4,038. And you know what? We just can't have our treasure here. Amen. You try to keep your car clean, and instead it takes paint off instead of cleans up your paint. So where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Are we prepared on this point? Notice in Luke 17. If we're going to be prepared, our treasure can't be anything material here. It just can't be. In Luke 17, verse 20, the Bible says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh what? Not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is what?
Within you.
So, you know, our main focus, although it may sound strange, but our main focus should not be the Lord's coming and reigning upon earth in the future. Our focus should be him reigning right now in our lives. That's the point. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. You know, many times in life, we're always looking ahead for the will of God. Well, I'm praying about what the will of the Lord is for my life. And that aspect, in a sense, is good. But where it becomes wrong is if we're not focusing on today, doing God's will today. I had a teacher many years ago, and he said, you will be what you are becoming. And he was a very old man. And what he was getting at was, you're not going to be something out there in the future if you're not that right now. So what is the will of God? Well, notice in 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm not going to be in the will of God someday if I'm not in the will of God today? Whatever God's will for me is today, if I'm not doing God's will today, I never am going to come to that point where I find that God's will. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. The Bible says, in what? Everything give what? Thanks. For this is what? The will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So I'm talking about, yes, I want to be in the will of God. I'm praying about what the will of God is for my life. Well, I'm not going to find that if I'm not in the will of God today. And that is verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'm never going to find that point in my life where I'm thankful and happy if I'm not in that point right today. Thankful and happy for what God has done for me already. Notice in Romans 14, Romans chapter 14. So are we prepared for what's coming? Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not what? Meat and drink. But what? Righteousness and what? Peace and what? Joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Remember, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. The kingdom of God is within you. Well, what should be within me then? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's kind of like what we saw Sunday. You know, if we're just thinking of God far off in heaven somewhere, you know, when temptation comes along, we might be thinking, well, you know, God's way up there, you know. Well, we can't be like Adam and Eve, you know, sin and then try to hide. We can't hide from God. What we need to remember is God is, when we're saved, God is where? Within us. And so there's nothing hid from him. He's right there. So we need that righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So number one, let us not make material things our treasure. Number two, let us make the word of God our treasure. Let's go back there to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. So the disciples are all excited about the buildings of the temple. And we thank God for a building in which, to me, God is so gracious. But that shouldn't be our treasure. He should be our treasure. And then verses 3 through 5, let us make the word of God our treasure. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So we need to be in our Bibles because there is an attack upon the Word of God. This law that was just made in Canada is a direct attack upon the Word of God. You know, the Sodomites are no different than back in Sodom and in Gibeah. Were the Sodomites content to just stay in their own little group in Sodom? No. When those two angels came to Lot in the evening, they came to beat down the door, if necessary, to get at those two men. What they perceived were men, they did not know they were angels. Same thing in Gibeah. When the man and his concubine came to the city in the evening, and the old man invited them in to stay the night, they beat at the door. And the same thing. And they abused his concubine. Just a horrible, horrible story there that happened. It's no different. Sodomites have never been content to stay among themselves. They're always trying to force their perversion on other people. So it's not only Canada now that has outlawed it, but so is France. And so is Germany. And other countries as well. And actually, some states in the United States have passed the same laws. So let's make the Word of God our treasure and not be ashamed of it. Notice in Mark 8, Mark chapter 8, in verse 34, Mark 8:34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him, what? Deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall, what? Lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall, what? Save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of what? Of me. So that's the Lord. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me, the Lord Jesus Christ, and of what? So his words are what? The Bible. So whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me, the Lord Jesus Christ, and of my words, the Bible, in what? This adulterous and sinful generation. So the point is it's not just not being ashamed of him like when we're all together. It's easy, isn't it? I mean, who comes in here and is ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ? No one. Who comes in here and is ashamed of the Word of God? No one. But how is it out in the adulterous and sinful generation outside of these doors? At work, store, neighborhood, we must not be ashamed. It says there, Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angel. So, these are uncertain times. Our country has gone through it before. Back in my grandparents' day, and actually my wife's dad actually fought in World War II. So back in that time, they did face war, huge wars on both sides. And let us not think that we are exempt. We could face it the first time in our lives, but not the first time in the history of America. We could face it. So let's not make material things our treasure, but let us make the Word of God our treasure. Number three, let us not be troubled by all of these sorrows. Let us not be troubled by all of these sorrows. Let's go back to Matthew 24 and verse 6. Matthew 24:6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye what? Be not troubled. God tells us, don't be troubled about this matter of wars and rumors of wars. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So we have God's word on it. He says, don't be troubled. These things are going to come to pass. Now we should take heart in the fact that he told us it's going to happen. And he knows it's going to happen. And even though he knows it's going to happen, he tells us to not be troubled about it. So we've got to look to him. Verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences. The COVID thing is, by definition, a pestilence, a contagious, deadly disease. I know it's not deadly for everyone, but many have died with it. We're praying for the Snyder family, Brother Todd Snyder, and many others have died from it, complications from it. And then it goes on to say, and earthquakes. Brother Wall just telling me this week, and then reading about it, there's a couple earthquakes in Haiti this week. I think it was Monday. In diverse places. Diverse means various places. Verse 8 says, all these are what? The beginning of sorrows. But you know what? How can the Lord tell us to not be troubled? Well, number one, because we know him as Savior. Notice in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We don't have to be troubled about it. John 14:1 says, let not your heart, what? Be troubled. Why? ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you, what?
Unto myself,
that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have what?
Seen
him. Jesus and the Father are one. So we don't have to be troubled, because when we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Lord has a place prepared for us, all prepared for us. And when we put God first, the Bible talked about famines are coming. How can we not be troubled? Well, let's look in Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. You know, when the kingdom of God is within us, when our desire day by day is to have Jesus Christ rule and reign in our hearts and lives, you know what? He gives a wonderful promise to us in Matthew 6:25. Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall what?
Eat.
Or what ye shall what?
Drink.
Nor yet for your body what ye shall what? Put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. You remember what God did for the children of Israel as they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness? Do you remember one thing he did for them? Their clothes didn't wear out. Now, I know some of you would say, I could have worn the same clothes for 40 years in a row. Well, God caused them to not wear out. You know what? If we faced hard times, God can do the same thing. He can help things to last longer. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more, what?
Clothe you,
O ye of little faith. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? You know what he's saying in verse 31? Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't take thought. Verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have what?
Need
of all these things. But seek ye what?
First,
the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all what?
These
things, food, clothes, drink, all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What does that mean? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It means this. If our number one priority is food, clothes, and something to drink, if that's our number one priority in life, we're never going to have time for God, because we're always going to be concentrated on it. God says, don't concentrate on those things. Concentrate, put me first, and I will take care of all those things. So that's why when the famine comes, the Lord's telling us, don't be troubled. And let's go back there to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 7, once again, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. But what did he say back in verse 6? And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye what?
Be not troubled.
So, you know what? No one can guarantee that we're not going to get into war with Russia or with China. No one can guarantee that we're not going to get right in the middle of it again. But as Christians, we don't have to be troubled. Let's put God first. May He be our treasure. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray, Father, if any should be here tonight that have never been saved, help them to realize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God in the flesh, born of a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect sinless life, and then died on the cross, bearing the wages of our sin, which is death, and then rose from the grave the third day, proving that his blood paid the wage, and death could not hold him. We thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, please help us as Christians. Lord, if we get focused on the troubles of this world, our hearts can be troubled. But help us to keep focused on you. May you be our treasure. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.